All right, I'll call this meeting to order and open us up in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this school district. We thank you for our administration, all of our teachers, and all of our students, Lord. We pray for safety, Lord, as our students and our teachers are in school and as they're traveling to extracurricular activities, Lord. We just pray your protection. And we thank you for giving us a safe trip to Houston last week and bringing us home safely, Lord. As we preside here tonight, Lord, I just pray that you give us wisdom and you give us clarity and guidance and help us work together as a team so we can make the best decisions for this district. And we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Yeah, you need a teaspoon. All right, public comment. Nobody signed up for
no one signed up for public comment.
Opening remarks by the superintendent.
Well, Mr. President, thank you. I don't have many open comments tonight. I do want to address the message that I sent you guys about the progress our students seem to be making compared to same time last year. I gave you the numbers. Pretty extraordinary, though. What you don't know is that I was wanting to speak to the kids today during one of our forums, and the speaker didn't show up, so I had an opportunity to speak to them. And I didn't even want to know what the data was. I really didn't. I did not want to know how many students passed versus how many students didn't pass. I had a feeling it was so great that I didn't want the data to ruin what I wanted to say to the kids, which was to congratulate them based on their effort. Even if the results weren't quite there, the effort has been extraordinary. And so, unfortunately, Coach Sepp came in and told me the news. And it turned out to be great news, but if it had been bad, it would have probably, you know, taken away from what I really wanted to say to him, which is I'm proud of him regardless. And that's, you know, the way we feel about our kids sometimes. They might fail, but we're still proud of them. So just wanted to share that with you guys. A lot of things factor into that. Everything what you're going to hear tonight, from Avid to our math solution that we're working on now, where we are being more holistic and systemic with our math instruction, I think is spilling over into the other classrooms. The kids, though, I think they're owning their own responsibility for their own learning more. So I think that's what's taking place. And then that's all I really wanted to talk about, let you guys know about that. I do have a few items that we will address for another board meeting. It won't be an emergency board meeting, but hopefully we can schedule a special board meeting tonight for a purchase that we need to make. But other than that, glad to be here. Look forward to this meeting.
And data that he's talking about, last year at the end of the first 6 weeks, we had 35 kids ineligible. This year, after the first 6 weeks of the school year, we have 5 in the entire campus, K through 12.
Awesome.
Not a single football player in the high school failed.
Awesome.
So it's amazing turnaround. So we're very proud of our administration, proud of our teachers, proud of our students.
Yeah,
proud of our students.
Absolutely.
All right. Consent agenda. In the consent agenda, we will cover the review of the minutes, the assistant superintendent report, and CFO, which includes financials, EPEC report, teacher and learning report, student access report, athletic report, safety and security report, technology report, and operations report. Is there any board member that would like to pull one of those items out for discussion out of the consent agenda? If not, then we will proceed with the consent agenda as presented.
All right.
So next board meeting, October 20th. Does that work for everybody?
Right. And Mr. President, if you would allow me to suggest a quick meeting on 9/29 next Monday, 7 o'clock. One agenda item, maybe two. I heard somebody mention that we were having one agenda item possibly meeting coming up, and we might sneak another purchase in there for an air conditioner, I believe. So we're having a little bit of trouble with some air conditioners, and the cost is a little bit above what you allow me to do. So if we could schedule that meeting, if a quorum could show up, you know, we want everybody to be there, of course. But if we could do that next Monday, that would be great. I have to post it by Tuesday in order to accomplish that, by tomorrow. So it'll be a real simple agenda. Shortest packet you'll ever see will be in that one. Sir?
I won't be able to make it.
Okay.
7 o'clock, you said?
7 o'clock is recommended, and we can go for another day if you want to be here.
Well, the reason I can't make it, they're going to put me in the movies. I'm going to be asleep. So I had a claustrophobia. What do you call them? A claustrophobia. One of them deals. They're going to sneak up from behind.
Yes, sir. So. Enough said.
Yeah,
you know what this means, right?
Yeah, good.
Okay, just so you know.
On October the 20th, for that board meeting, the Gold Star Banquet is that same night, so I won't be able to be here, but if that's okay, or if y'all want to do it a different day, just, it's up to y'all.
At the 20th, it doesn't matter. The 20th works good for me because I don't have my kids.
Okay.
But
I can't look at my phone right now because it's...
If the 27th would be better for everybody.
Is that in October, the 21st, is that a issue? Are Tuesdays not good, or would it, it's just
no,
weird because it's Tuesday? Again, it's just me. If everybody else is here, y'all have a quorum.
I can look at my computer and see.
I can look at my calendar. I can pull up the calendar.
You got my calendar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Thank you. All right. I could make, that's Wednesday, 21st. I'm available the 21st.
I'll be available the 21st.
But does that mess with y'all?
Mm-mm. Everybody's good?
No games, no nothing going? Yeah. Okay.
Still in football.
Okay. Well, if y'all don't mind, thank you. Then I can go to the banquet.
21st. Next board meeting, October 21st.
Okay. Thank you.
6:15 usual time or?
6:15 for dinner. Yes, sir.
7 o'clock for the meeting.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. All right. Has everybody had a chance to review the minutes? Anybody see? They start on page 9. Anybody see anything that needed to be changed? We had a couple, and we had a special call at the emergency board meeting, and then our last meeting. I didn't see anything.
Neither.
All right. Financials and assistant superintendent report.
The page numbers on your agenda are correct with the exception of the first one. It's not page 19, it's page 9 through 17. I had a typo there.
Financials start on 19.
I did have a question. What is Hurricane Office? Is it Hurricane is a store?
Yeah, Hurricane's a store.
Okay. Because I was like, okay, is that a room somewhere in this building?
That's
okay.
A store.
Okay.
I thought we were far enough north not to have to worry about that.
Hard to see how much all the subscription renewals cost. It's like, oh God, there's one.
Tax collection looks good.
Yeah, I wish it was a little bit better, but.
Yeah. It was better last month.
Yeah.
Anybody see anything with the financials? Ms. Crabb, do you have any report, anything? All right.
Her general report is the first page of financials,
yeah.
The way we're arranging it, so you can kind of get her report just like you get the other leaders. But if you have any questions, of course, you can step up and answer them.
The EPEC report.
EPIC.
EPIC.
Yes, sir.
Epic. it was all capitalized, so. Yeah, the Epic Report.
Yeah, they don't use periods. They kind of made it a name. All right. That's from Mr. Lamb.
Yes. And did y'all have a chance to read his and Ms. Hare's and Mr. Wormsbaker and Mr. Thomas and Omar and Coach Steps?
You don't have one from the nurse this month. I'll update you guys on that later. Okay.
All right, so teacher and learning report, student access report, athletic report, and the safety and technology report. And operations report.
That's Omar, custodial transportation and maintenance.
So do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
Can I add something first?
Yes, please.
I apologize for interrupting you, but whoever makes the motion would have to read the recommended motion out loud, and they would have to add the change to the October meeting to the 21st. And they'd have to add the special meeting for September the 29th in their oral recommendation, and I mean their oral motion, and then if seconded, that's what you would vote on.
So I can't just say, do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exceptions of the September 29th special call meeting and changing the board meeting to October 21st.
And then I make a motion.
And then somebody else make a motion, do they have to say it?
So you can say it, and they can say so moved, and then the next person can say they second it. That's appropriate as well.
You said it. So moved.
So moved. And so you have to say so moved by whom?
So moved by Debbie, and seconded by Rebecca. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous.
Debbie Kirksey, DK. R. Here we go. And I apologize that it's different, but
do we all have to say aye now because of the recording, or can we still raise our hands?
So the technical way that superintendents do it with the raise of the hand, they mentioned that all hands are raised. Mm-hmm. There's no opposition noted, something to that effect. Or I see affirmative motions by affirmative votes by, and you name them, and Mr. Mendoza was opposed. So you have to articulate it because of the recording. You have to
paint a picture like a radio.
You have to paint a picture.
A game on a radio.
Yes.
We'll get it.
Used to it.
Yeah. All right, discussion items. Presentation and discussion of the AVID implement.
Yay!
Mr. Superintendent, we're excited that the ladies are here tonight. Of course, I want to tell you, AVID implementation is not easy. It is tough. Districts really struggle with implementing AVID, but I haven't seen those pains. Now, they probably had those pains in the site room. We did have a few pains where I was offered something to stick in my mouth back when we were in training, some gum, actually. But outside of that, it's been pretty flawless, and we're very excited. So without any further ado, you can turn it over to them if you want to say anything, Ms. Crabb, before they start.
They've really been the feet on the ground. It's a group of seven different teachers. I think Ms. Hirschett is going to go into that.
Yeah.
Ms. Hirschett is going to go into like everybody involved. We do have our first site visit this week with our coach on Wednesday. So they'll be here on campus to go through our electives with us and then meet with us as a team. But I'll let Ms. Hirschett talk because she's really involved in the everyday hands-on part of it. So.
Bear with me. I'm used to talking to junior high kids. So just kind of, we're in the very early stages of implementing that AVID. Our focus is introducing our students to the foundations and the principles of the program to demonstrate how it's going to support them in being successful beyond school. That we wanted them to take these organization things with them later on in life. We're currently working with 6th grade through sophomores, and then hopefully everything goes well and next year we'll start implementing some elementary into that. Our goal eventually is to be school-wide. If we were to get all of our teachers and be school-wide, I think it would be a great added bonus to our kids, teaching them, learning, emphasizing on the teaching aspect of how the teachers teach, how the kids are learning, the organization, and their accountability, making our kids more accountable of what they are learning and using what they're learning. The teachers that are teaching AVID right now, the AVID elective is Derek Cavillo, Brian Sepkowitz, Julie O'Neill, and then myself. And then we have Dr. Nelson, we have Ms. Crabb, Ms. Hare, and Ms. Moreno that are serving as part of our AVID committee to help support us in anything that we need and bounce ideas off of. Like, we went to a conference this summer and it was really good. Lots of good conversations, heated conversations at some point, but it was a lot of good information, and we're glad to bring it back to our kiddos. Outline of the program plan is a big thing is it's getting into the tutoring process to see our kids, what they're struggling with in other classes, and they bring that to our elective class to be able to expand on things that they're not quite understanding. And so that comes into the tutoring part of it. But as we're laying out these foundations of the program, that's not gonna hit till like December or January, because we want to show them every aspect and how it's supposed to happen before we turn it over to them. Because it's eventually peer tutoring, they're gonna be learning from each other. That way we are showing them and giving them the questioning aspects and the processing of it to be able to sit down with their peers, have those conversations, and hopefully they're gonna be helping each other to be able to learn what they don't understand. That's all that I have right now. Do we have any questions about the AVID program right now? I know it's new and we're still in those early stages.
What does a typical day in your elective class look like? Mm-hmm.
So right now they come in, we're making sure that they're organizing their information, what they're doing in their classes, making sure that they're putting their homework in their planners, and just a lot of organization right now. We're focusing on how to actually take notes and then how to use those notes to study, because a lot of our kids don't do that very well. I did have one student, we worked on that focus note taking one day, and the next day she came out of biology, she was like, I actually used my focus note taking and I feel like I did well with it. So it's giving those just kind of more intentional ways of how to organize your information, organize your life, time management, because our kids don't have time management, and then making sure they're using it in all their classes and trying to. Their binder, that's their planner. We have a 3-inch binder where they keep all of their information in. We have a planner, they have it week by week, so they can document what they're doing in those classes, what homework, but it also gives them a place to document what their extracurricular activities are doing. So if I have basketball practice, if I have cheerleading practice, if I have football practice, I'm setting aside that time, and I know that I can't do homework then, I gotta plan for that accordingly. So that's kind of what we're trying to get them going with. And it's a whole binder where they can keep all their good stuff. Once we actually get it into school-wide, that pretty much will be the only binder that they carry around, because every class will have their information in there. Some of you have kids that are familiar with our high school math with Mr. Norman's binder. That kind of binders aspect and how he is organizing that information goes right in hand with our AVID stuff. So eventually that would be something that hopefully in the near future, we could get that to go in there, and our kids would only be responsible for one binder with all of their information and be organized there.
How are the kids responding?
It's a learning process. So it's a constant just making sure, and because they're not always thinking about it, because all of our teachers aren't AVID teachers just yet. So we're just trying to get all of that going, and we're putting a lot of accountability like on the kids, like, you know, you need to do this. Your other teachers might not know, but you know to go in there and write down what homework you have, what you did for that class, so that you know what's coming next.
And the reason that is a part of AVID is when the kids go to college or trade school or wherever they go, not all but most of the college teachers won't even know AVID. There are colleges that are AVID colleges, but most of them won't. But the kids will have the skills and know how to navigate and be successful in that teacher's class who doesn't know a thing about AVID. And also, what I've seen, and it's one of the most amazing things, is college student, you know, we're all friends and we say, let's study. Well, the AVID students organize that study, and when you get there, they're doing the AVID tutorial and they don't even know it. And it's pretty amazing. So it's gonna be special. I tell you, it's had an effect already. I've been in several AVID classes and I see the kids in regular classes doing things now that they were doing in the middle of the year or weren't even doing in the middle of the year. They're more on in tune with instruction already, and I think it's because they realize, oh, I can do this. So they've done an amazing job.
What's the timeline for all school? Well, all teachers first. That everybody's on board.
It is, yes. I want to say what we were looking at with Bucky was like 3 to 5. It's 3 to 5. You slowly, because we kind of were a little bit smaller. So we actually went a little bit broader than what other schools did because we are smaller. So most schools start with like 2 grade levels or 3 grade levels, but they have, you know, 10 times more kids than what we did. That's why we went ahead and expanded it to be able to do.
Our intention was to start at junior high, and then we easily went into 9th grade. And then when we got to building the schedule at the beginning of the year, it even expanded a little bit with some of our sophomores. So so we expanded it even more than our initial planning stage we thought we would.
Well, I'm so excited about it. Were y'all excited when you?
Oh yeah, but it was so much information.
It was overwhelming.
And the collaboration, and then bringing it back and just giving it to our kids, I think it's been great and it's fun. And it's just at the beginning they were like, "What are we doing?" But now we're getting into the routine of everything, and they're seeing what they can actually use with it, because like, you know, how many of you here don't have a planner or something to organize your information? Something they're going to be able to take later on.
Yeah, just it makes it better.
And then our coach, when he comes in tomorrow, he'll actually set up, we'll set a schedule for the year where we meet once a month as a committee, and then we look at what do we need to improve, what do we need to build. But they're already doing great things. It's positive. The kids, my own children are telling me a lot of times that's their favorite class. So, it's a positive thing.
Well, awesome.
Yeah. Has there been any parent comments or anything?
I haven't had any feedback on the
idea from my side.
Is it kind of too soon to tell?
Idea about, from my side, when we first sent out the schedule, I got pretty good amount of, is this required?
What is it?
What is it about? And then once I explained it, they were like, okay. So I haven't heard anything else. But because we're just new to the schedule. Yeah. So anything new, they want to know, what are we doing? So.
Yeah. What were you going to, I'm sorry.
Is there a difference in how you're presenting things for people with, students with learning disabilities? Are you training them all? Just
I have all different levels in my room. Mm-hmm. So I'm presenting that information all at the expectation, but I'm also, just like in a regular class, I'm having to modify for those individual students. Because, yes, I want them to work on those things, but I know that some of those kids aren't going to have, they might not be able to meet that high expectation, but I still want them to strive for it, just like in a regular classroom. But I'm also going to meet them at their level as well.
But for our learning disabled kids, as we know, I mean, so I can speak to that, I'm in the SPED world as well. Organization is huge for them. So that alone is just going to help them. Just to organize something is going to help them. But I'm going to piggyback off of hers. When I'm going to talk about the NEST. I don't know if y'all heard about our NEST. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably the reason why we have only 5 students. That's one of our big reasons besides this class. It has become a hub. Elementary is really using it more for behavior redirection, and they're doing amazing. So we have a kid acting out or just can't focus, they go up to the NEST and they're redirecting them right back into class. Instead of having them out of class or just going to the principal all the time, that's the way we're using it. High school is using it more. They need help. They ask, can I go to the NEST? Teacher sends them, and it's always staffed with 2 people. And it's also staffed with SPED support also throughout the day. So it's going to be powerful once, I think when the programs merge, when you say the NEST also, it's growing. And I think it's going to be great. So I'm glad that it's kind of, do y'all know what content mastery is back in the old days? The word content mastery, where SPED kids went out, I know,
I came on Sabi.
You would come to my room for help. Like just this our learning disabled kids. Basically what I'm looking at, I call it just school-wide content mastery. Anybody who needs help and behaviorally, and that's the way it is.
Even Mr. Kate comes in on Wednesdays and as part of the NIST and part of our math support and kind of part of all these programs working together. But Mr. Kate comes in on Wednesdays and offers support. And so even my son, who is probably on the opposite end of like overachiever, he goes in there because he wants to, because he knows he has to finish his homework by Wednesdays because he plays on Thursdays, you know, and kind of building on all those things. But he goes, and that's his intention every Wednesday is, I go in here, I get my support with my math, that way I'm finished with my homework by Wednesday and can do that. And so it's not just our students who, our lower students who need support, but even those higher students who are going in there and using that support as well. So,
yeah. So we thank the ladies for coming in and sharing it with you guys. We'll keep periodic updates, maybe twice a year minimum, maybe three times a year, kind of as they make more progress. And like when she mentioned NEST, I forgot what I talked to her about. But so the plan is not one thing. No one thing fixes everything, but these incremental steps, these improvement in different areas overall is having an effect already. And I think over the months and the years, it having even greater effect so we can achieve our goals. So thanks, ladies. Y'all are welcome to stay, or y'all are welcome to go at the end once he goes to the next agenda item.
Thank y'all for that report. It's a lot of exciting things are happening. All right, we'll move to discussion item B. Presentation and discussion of the 2025 Emergency Operations Plan and the 2025 Active Threat Annex.
So I sent, and I know some of you guys were working and you didn't see it, but I sent out an email this afternoon to a folder that contains the actual plans. Now, you guys know we don't spread those plans far and wide. We don't print them. You know, we give them only to law enforcement or others that have to help us enact them. But what I thought would work for you guys, and I also shared this with other members of the team, is beginning on page 38, I shared a two-page summary of the Emergency Operations Plan and a two-page summary of the Active Threat Plan, because I'm not comfortable having conversations about safety on recording that any Joe Blow can get on the internet and play. So I want to be very limited in what we talk about in open session as it relates to safety, so I'm not going to cover that summary, but it is provided for you. Anytime you want to know more, we are allowed to go into executive session to discuss safety when it would protect safety. So that's, I want to leave it at that unless you guys have questions. I will tell you the overall plans, both the emergency operations plan and the active threat template are due on October the 2nd. I don't plan to wait that long to turn them in. I did apply for what they call an early review. Meaning, in the old days, you had to turn it in early to get an early review. So that way, once you get a review, you always have something to fix. It's never perfect. I don't want to be on the back side of that. I want to be on the front side of that. Well, now they changed it, and you can apply, kind of like a pilot, to no matter when you turn it in, you get an early review. And we were selected for early review. So I'll turn it in the next few days. I want to look through them multiple times and update it as best I can. I'll turn it in. We'll get an early review. So sometime around the third week in October or the first week in November, the last week in October or the first week in November, we should get a report back that says, fix these things. I'll fix those things. The team will look at it. We'll pray over it and send it back again, and hopefully it's approved. Here's the good part. We can turn it in as long as we turn it in on time. We can get it back 10 times, but as long as we turn it in on time every time. So once they give it to me, I have a certain number of days to get it back. We never get a major gig. Not turning in on time, we have to bring a report to you guys, and you guys have to basically put on record that we missed the deadline. So that's, we'll avoid that. But last time, I think we did it in one review. The goal is to be able to do it in one review.
I've got the links, and if you put your school email in there and your password to use again on your school computer, it pulled up both of them.
Good.
Okay. Both of the files were in there. So,
but just don't share it with anybody. It has, most of it wouldn't put us in jeopardy, but I wouldn't want anybody in the general public to know this is what we do when this happens, and that plan does line that out.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's move to the action items. Discussion and possible action to approve the annual audit.
Before Jessica takes it, you won't be able to approve the audit tonight. They will explain why. and Jessica can introduce them and get them going. But that's the hiccup that we learned of today, and it's not a major hiccup. We can approve it later. Jessica, you want to introduce them? Well, they know it.
Yeah.
Everybody was here last year.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we know these guys.
Did you bring your glass?
Did he do that? He usually talks. Did he do that on purpose?
I did that on purpose. I tell you, we enjoy coming out here and working with your district. You've got a great staff all around, the administration, getting to know Dr. Nelson even better, getting to know Jessica. They're doing such a great job for you. And it makes our job easier, what you hire us to do, which is to prepare an audit and to get everything ready so that we, as you're having to do on these other things, you know, we get it in on time and there's no questions about it. There's always some question, but it's not major or nothing we have to fix. And as has already been stated, we can't finish tonight because we're waiting on an update from the Governmental Accounting Standards Board having to do with the single audit. And you do have over $750,000 in grant revenue, so you are a single audit, and so we can't approve it, and we can't have it where you have approved it before that's released. Am I saying that right?
It's just a technicality. Every year, the federal government, the Office of Management and Budget, they put out what they call the compliance supplement, which is basically the audit procedures we're supposed to abide by for the single audit.
And, the GASB.
So they're just behind the schedule. They've released a draft, but then it's got to go through all the steps and getting it approved. So we're just waiting on that to be able to put a date on the report, but everything else.
Like everything that we deal with that all of us deal with in education, we're dealing with the alphabet soup organizations, TEA, OMB, GASB, and we have to get stuff in on time, but then sometimes we have to wait on them. And probably ought to stop because I'm getting recorded.
Can I get a book?
Sorry. Absolutely.
Because I'd hate not to get to look at it.
What we're missing in here is the opinion letters and the approval of the certification. But that's it. Yeah, everything else is done. And I'll go over it really quickly because there's a lot of data in here. But I'll hit the highlights unless somebody wants to really hit some questions. So without the opinion letter, we'll jump into the management's discussion and analysis. And on page 8, there's a table A1 that you'll see. This is the government-wide statements, so they're adjusted for a lot of additional stuff that really doesn't pertain to the district. It does, but it doesn't. The latest thing, and Jessica, you helped me greatly with that, has to do with accounting for compensated absences. It's an adjustment to the government-wide. But we'll skip over to the Schedule C2 in a minute, which is what we always look at. But we can look at this Table A1 right now and see, you know, your total current assets have gone from $4,594,000 to $4,149,000. So a little bit of decrease in cash and due from governments, that type of thing. And so overall, you see that position is down. But again, this includes a lot of adjustments for depreciation and for the adjustments having to do with TRS, which really don't affect you on a cash basis. Another table, though, to look at is on table A2, page 10. You can see overall, again, this is adjusted for all those things, but total revenue is one thing that's pretty straightforward. Total revenue is down just very slightly from $5,008,000 to $5,007,000. But your grant revenue is up. That largely has to do with, the tax revenue up, grants and contributions are up. But then operating grants, that has to do with the federal programs and some of that is down. As we know, we've been dealing still, as of last year, we had the last of the COVID grant money. So, but even with that, see, it's only down just slightly, even though that's down a lot. Now, like I say, I want to jump over to C2 before I lose everybody. On page 18, C2. Now, this is the one we always love. I haven't tampered with it yet. This is the one that it's what you look at. It's what Jessica prepares. It's what you go by. It's the revenue in, expenses out. You buy a bus, it's an expense. You get a grant, it's revenue. So it's cash in, cash out. Well, you can look at this, total revenues on the general fund, $4,165,000, and expenditures $4,334,000, for a deficit of $169,000, or a net loss of $169,000 to your fund balance. But, as you remember, or hopefully you remember, you budgeted for $350,000 or something like that, $1,000. So great work with the resources. I know that starts with y'all, goes through the teachers, the principals, and everybody. So everybody's doing their job very, very well. So we were impressed. And we go to a lot of districts, and everybody's having this net loss problem because of, you know, what we're doing, what we've gone to. Hopefully this is gonna get better. Well, I'm not even going to start talking about
that. I would like a clarification, Mr. President. That's okay.
That's fine.
So for clarification, I just wanted on record, we forecasted a potential $350,000 deficit.
Exactly.
Which means take last year's fund balance and deduct $350,000. But we didn't end up deducting $350,000. We deducted $169,000. So we cut that projected deficit in about half.
Exactly. So, well put.
Well, that's not smart man talking. I try to keep it real basic.
So this is good. So overall, you can see special education. That's your co-op. Other governmental funds, $910,000 to $957,000. So a little bit of decrease there. That's largely in the 461 fund. That has to do, and that's just timing issues and everything else. There is one small deal on the $120,000 prior period adjustment down there. That was money that should have been spent out of last year's fund balance in the general fund. Miscommunication on our part. That was in the
safety.
Yeah, the safety 429 grant, and that money should have come out of general. So that's all we're doing there. Still. You got the great work, as Dr. Nelson said, that we went, you know, y'all cut the what you were planning in half. And like I say, we're seeing a lot of districts huge losses because of the lack of funding and the increase in expenses and the COVID money being expended and those grants being gone and all those expenses coming back. Because as we were using those funds, the state of Texas, the legislature, they were withholding funds. So as they were saying, well, you need to do this and you need to do that, you need to increase teacher pay, everything that you're trying to do to keep the curriculum where it is, all these programs, and keep as well as you could the salaries where they were compatible. All of that was trying to use COVID money. Now that's all gone. So doing this and staying to $169,000 loss is unbelievable. Great work. Again, sorry, I'm already going too far. Page 22 just starts notes to the financial statements. There's a lot of detail about your accounting procedures. On page 36, there's a footnote on capital assets. And we've got some capital outlay, $194,460. A large part of that was out of the safety grant. about $160,000, $170,000. And you can see that all around your district, that was well, those, y'all use those resources greatly. I mean, very efficiently, those were used. Page, at the bottom of 37 starts a footnote on liability. You can see we've got the leases in there, compensated absences, that's a new add, net pension and OPED liability. Those two items just have to do with timing with the state of Texas, what they're using, your apportionment part of that, which again doesn't affect you cash wise. It's just something we have to compute and account for. As a matter of fact, there's a large section starting on page 39 that talks about how we calculated that. I recommend it for insomnia.
For you?
Because it goes for quite some time, starting on page 39 and going to page 51. All we're doing, actually 52, and part of 53, all we're doing is talking about the computation of the apportionment share of not only TRS, but the OPED, which is other post-employment benefits, OPED. So a lot of good stuff in there about that computation. Really what that, let me boil that, let me try to, I may need Dr. Nelson's help how to do this. All that is a computation of your apportionment share of something you don't actually pay. That's pretty close, isn't it?
I don't know how to say it any better than that.
Because we live in the state of Texas, which has a great plan, as long as we keep legislatures out of it, which they've tried to attack it from time to time and borrow money from it like the feds have done with Social Security. But to date, we still have a good plan that's it's based on, you know, salaries. There has been some adjustments to it over time. But a lot of that is paid for at the state level. You know, what goes in for our employees, a large part is paid by the state. But we record it as an on-behalf payment. So it's recorded as revenue in 5831 and then recorded as expense in object code 6144. So all this computation doesn't have anything to do with what comes out of the pocket of Lorenzo ISD. But the reason that it's done is because other states didn't fund their programs. That. Move that. Everybody's like, we got it. Move on. All right, on page 57, we're just talking about that. Like I say, you had an original budget of $358,000 loss, and instead you came in at $169,000, so that's great. On page 58, just looking at special education, and that was excellent as well. Then 59 through 62, more schedules on the computation. And 63, we're looking at taxes. So on page 63, J1, we've got the total tax at the beginning was $224,000. That's what people owed you on ad valorem taxes. You see, we go back and we look at it for 10 years in great detail. Your current levy, $1,286,000, collected $1,380,000. So over 105% collection rate. To end with $109,000 at the end of the year, O2. So excellent on that. Really, that's, we've got a page 73 is a exhibit K1, has to do with federal money, which you received and spent. You see a lot of programs there, and a total of $961,000 in federal money. So when you think about the level of federal grants at Lorenzo ISD, $961,000 total payrolls, somewhere around, is it $3 million, $2 million? That's one of your largest expenses. So we're collecting a lot. A lot of that federal money goes to payroll and everything else. And with that, even though the letter is not in here, usually I point out letters that say, you know, as we're doing the audit, we're also looking at how everyone is doing with, you know, rules, regulations, because a large part of your budget is coming from federal money and then state money. And that letter, if we could put it in here and you could look at it, would say that we found absolutely nothing. That includes EPIC and their compliance, the SPED compliance, all of those things is being done so well, so well. It's always been good here, but we just see it's even better than normal. So, any questions? Did I do okay? Did I talk too long?
Do you anticipate by next month having those letters and the board can approve it at that time?
Or? Yes.
Okay.
We anticipate. I mean, we have to, because this has to be approved and uploaded to the state of Texas, to TEA, by November the 27th for a junior end. So we want that to be here for the meeting on October the 21st, so we can send that letter to you. Y'all can vote, sign it, and send a digital copy to share around. It includes the letters. Nothing else will change.
Yes, sir. So,
appreciate y'all very much.
Thank you.
We appreciate
what you're doing, what Jessica's doing. She's great.
It's good.
He's so much happier than Joe.
That's wrong. That's so wrong. Joe was a bitter man sometimes.
he still comes with us.
We really do appreciate Jessica. Every time I email her or call her, she's always very prompt and giving us what we need. They help us. So I've been harassing for a month and a half.
Well, we appreciate our partnership with y'all. I know y'all been coming out here a long time, and I know y'all are gonna hold us accountable, but I also know that y'all care. And so when you come in here and you know, you praise our administration and our CFO and tell us we're doing a good job, because it's been hard. The last few years have been hard. And to hear y'all say that, it means a lot, and it's encouraging. So we appreciate y'all sincerity and honesty.
And y'all can have cookies. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
Y'all be careful going back.
Oh, yes.
Do you need me to sign that other one?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Do I need to sign that one, too?
No, I think
that's the one that's put it right here. I know. Live to the
So
wherever I go, I like getting a local one. That'd be a thing. These fascinate me.
Do we need a copy of this, or will you?
I can just get a copy off.
Thanks. Appreciate you.
That would be your hobby.
That's not going to happen.
Thank you.
If you want some, I got a whole bunch of them in my barn.
These?
Yeah.
Yeah, they do.
Y'all drive safe.
Good night.
Push that red button.
Now put there you go.
All right. Action item B. Crosby and Lovett County. Oh, go ahead. Oh, she has to step out.
A minute.
I didn't.
Oh, Larry, I found your answer to your question also.
Oh, okay.
Get to that.
Is it going to have to really be explained to me, or is it?
Yeah, I found like a short.
Short. Okay, good. I like the cliff notes.
All right. All right. action item B, Crosby and Lubbock Appraisal District certified appraisal rolls for the Lorenzo Independent School District.
That's you, Ms. Graham.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you look at pages 42, the first one is just the appraisal for Crosby County, and then the next pages are the appraisals for Lubbock County. This information is used to come up with our tax rate. Mo Casey works on putting all this together. So this data just comes straight from the counties, and I send that to them. So this is we put that information together. So these have to be approved. The certified rolls have to be approved before we can get into the tax rate. So that's what these are. Again, these come straight from Lubbock Appraisal County and Crosby County Appraisal Office.
All right. So can I get someone to make a motion that the Board of Trustees of Lorenzo Independent School District approve the certified and supplemental appraisal rolls for tax year 2025 as presented?
Mr. President?
Yes.
Can we pause for a second?
Sure.
I believe you have to announce the tax rate.
We're not on the tax rate yet. We're just
approving. We're just approving the rolls.
Just approving the rolls right now.
Thank you. I stand corrected. Yeah. Appreciate it.
We got a motion by Rebecca.
Second.
And a second by Tony. Now we can, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Now we'll move to action item C, designation of officer resolution. Dr. Nelson.
Yes, you guys actually approved this last month. You approved Jessica as the officer that is your designee to publish the tax rate. What we didn't have at the time was the resolution, and that's what we're asking you guys to make a motion on today, to approve the resolution that names Jessica as that representative. The description is on page 5 of your packet. It's at the very top, and the recommended motion is there at the top of page 5 as well. Wait a minute, I'm sorry.
It's
4. I wrote that in the wrong place. Got it. It's at the bottom of page 4, and the recommended motion is there in the gray section.
So can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees sign resolution number 2025-09-22-1, designating the Chief Financial Officer, which is Jessica Crabb, as the officer responsible for calculating and reporting the no new revenue tax rate and the voter approval tax rate for Lorenzo Independent School District as required by law.
I shall move.
Got a motion by Terry.
Second.
Second by Erasmo. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. And so,
thanks, sir.
Me and Debbie got to sign it, right?
Yes, sir. I have everything for your signatures in a special packet this time, so we don't miss anything.
Okay, cool. So we'll move to action item D, discussion and possible approval of the no new revenue tax rate and voter approval tax rate for the tax year 2025.
All right, and so the difference in the no new revenue rate and the voter approval tax rate, a no new revenue rate just keeps revenues flat from last year's property. So it's no increase, things just stay exactly the same as they were before. And then the voter approval rate is the highest rate we're allowed to have without having a special election. So that's the difference in those two things.
So you almost have to take the lower of the two if the voter rate is the maximum, but that no new revenue rate is higher. Does that mean? In the numbers that we had, that's what was confusing. That one was higher than the
no new revenue rate is higher.
Mm-hmm.
Because in order to keep things exactly the same, it had to go up just a little
That's the maximum that we can charge without having an election.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's on page 59. If you turn to page 59 of your packet, you'll see the no new revenue rate. And then you see what, once you approve it, you'll see this year's voter approval tax rate, which is less than the no new revenue rate.
Wow.
So you guys could technically approve up to the no new revenue rate, but what's being recommended to you, so you could approve up to 68 cents or 68.4786 cents, mm-hmm. but what you're being asked to approve is 68.2200 cents.
And did they give a rationale for not doing the no new revenue rate? Because they're recommending the voter rate, which is lower.
That's correct.
Is there any reason? I mean,
well, do you know the reason?
I don't know that.
I don't know why they lock it in there, but you know, it's a
calculation based on all these
all the factors.
These worksheets put together.
Because yeah. Here's the deal: if we got to remember, it's one cup. So if yeah. you if we chart if we raise the rate, the state's going to reduce what they give us.
Sure.
So this is a balance.
It doesn't really change any of the money that comes into the school because mm-hmm. ultimately, if we got more money in taxes, they would give us less in state money.
I gotcha.
It always is the same. If you raise this one, they lower.
If it was $100 and we, the company or the firm recommended we charge $58, that means the state's going to give us $42. But if we charge up to the maximum we could charge is $65, the state's still only going to give us $35. So we've charged our people more, but the state's giving us less.
Okay.
So going with the recommendation is what
okay.
is probably most okay. suitable, unless you were in a year where you were going to ask the voters to increase it even more for maintenance, operations, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If it was substantial enough to.
Yeah.
Long way around, still the same.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees of the Lorenzo Independent School District approve the no new revenue tax rate and the voter approved tax rate for the tax year 2025 as presented?
Go ahead. You're right. Yes, sir.
Okay. I'll make a motion. Will we approve?
We got Deborah. We have a second.
Second
by Tony. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. All right. Action item E, resolution of the board to set the tax rate for the tax year 2025. So we've just talked about all this stuff. So now can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees of Lorenzo Independent School District adopt the resolution to set the 2025 tax rate at 0.682200 per $100 valuation with a 0.682200
allocated
to maintenance and operations, and 0.000000 allocated to interest and sinking as presented.
I so moved.
Motion made by Rosmo.
Second
by Rebecca. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Easy.
And y'all do know that. Y'all do know that 0.00 means we have no official debt.
Yeah.
We carry no debt, which is a good thing.
Yes.
It's a good thing.
Cool. All right. Let's move to action item F. Discussion of roofing claim and possible approval for a professional service contract for roofing improvement.
So essentially, you know, we had a claim that originated back a year ago where our building was damaged by hail damage. We started with a roofing contractor that we've used in the past to kind of let us know there was a problem. We filed a claim with TASB Risk Management. TASB Risk Management sent out an adjuster who found damage. They needed an engineer to verify the damage and the core samples and all that stuff. That process has been going on for how long now, Ms. Crabb? 3 months?
Since April.
Actually, well, we really hit it hard right at first week of June.
Yeah.
So since June, it's been full force. And at this point, we have significant damage determined for most of our property, which it's not good or bad. They found a damage. We have a pretty healthy policy. Our policy limit is $1 million. However, there's potential that if you approve a company that can put up a higher storm rated roof, we could reap more than that. Right now, the claim is right at $1.35 million. The amount that they would deduct for our deductible is $250,000. The amount they would pay us if nothing changed, and there's a chance something changes, means as they look deeper, it could get, you know, you could get more. You know it is when you have a claim. The insurance company says the damage to your car is $5,000. You take it to the body shop and they say $6,000. They take all the doors off and the hood off and they say, oh, this is messed up. Now it's going to be $8,000. Sometimes that happens and we just have to trust and work with and verify that as we continue to work. What we're asking you to do tonight is select a contractor, not a contractor, select a consultant who will kind of be our agent to help us through this process. The good thing is TASB will pay this person, this firm, for the work. I think it's $50,000 or $60,000. TASB says, we're not going to take that out of your money. We're going to pay that ourselves so that they know it's done well. We have already started collaborating with that person. And I have his name somewhere. You know his name, Jessica?
Brad Draper.
And he'll be working the process. He seems very reliable and very efficient. He's been a school board member. He knows this process, so we think we'll be in good hands with him. At the same time, we have used Coriel Roofing in the past. They've already agreed to work with him to make sure that we're getting the value and the most for what we need. At some point, it will come back to you guys to approve a contractor to do the work. Coriel would be a competitor for that, as well as others that might be competitors for that. But ultimately, you guys will decide on who will fix our roof. Our initial payment will be somewhere around $370,000, $380,000, only because they will only pay you the depreciated amount, the value of the work. Since the work is right around, when they take off the deductible, right around $1.1 million, the depreciated amount is $300,000+. Once the work is done, they would give you the other non-depreciated amount. So no, I'm sorry, I'm saying it backwards. The non-depreciated amount is $300,000+. The depreciated amount, which is $600,000+, we would get that at the end to pay our bills.
So they are going to give you back the depreciation?
Yes, once they verify that the work has been done and it's insurable again, we get back the depreciation, yes. That's the way it works on your home, too. A lot of people don't know that. But they give you money because sometimes these contractors need money to complete a job this big. Mm-hmm. And so Jessica at some point can start to pay some of these fees along the way. Mm-hmm. But then the bulk of it is held back until the end of the project. And once it's certified.
I just thought the depreciation was because it was old. You know, it's old.
That's true.
Take it off.
That's true.
But this policy pays the depreciation back.
I believe all policies do. But here's the reason they do that. Like on your car, if your car is super old, mm-hmm. and they say it's $8,000 worth of damage, but your car is depreciated to $5,000. So they're going to give you the value of $5,000. And then if you fix the car, they'll give you the rest. Mm-hmm. So you get it back.
We used to call it like replacement cost. You know what it costs to replace it. But that's good. It's just always weird that TASB insures you. TASB does the claim service, and then TASB sends you a consultant. I'm like, thank you, TASB.
So TASB sent us a list of consultants.
They did. Yeah, they sent us a list of consultants.
Okay.
TASB sent us a list of consultants, and we were allowed to pick the one that we thought was best, and we picked the one that we thought would be most effective in helping us get maximum dollars for our claim.
Awesome. That's what we need.
And he had experience with several other school districts in this area and stuff, so yeah. I felt like he knew our area, knew our what we were looking for.
We have a lot of hail and wind damage out here, and if you get somebody who doesn't know hail and wind, you could possibly suffer. So
no, it'd be awesome. That number surprises me that they would pay that. So.
And it's possible they may pay more if you guys approve a contractor who has a roofing system that they believe will withstand a storm better than normal, then they might pay more.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees of Lorenzo Independent School District approve the professional services proposal from KWA Engineering and Building Science Co. Inc. for district-wide roofing improvements with a professional service fee of 8% of the roofing construction contract as reimbursed to the district by TASB Risk Management.
So moved.
Got a motion by Tony. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Terry. Is there any questions?
I have something to add if you don't mind.
What is that, Dr. Nelson?
We're not sure it's 100% of our roof. We believe it is 100% of our roof. I've looked through that, and our Coriel, who's advising us, has looked through that. So it might be every roof we have. It may be most of the roofs we have minus the metal roofs. It also includes the two residences and the post office. It does not include the Innovation Center. I just thought that's good to be on the record so we know what we're getting. We think it's everything but innovation, but it might be a particular steel, a part of the structure that's steel or metal that's not included, that's still being figured out.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
Who seconded, I'm sorry?
Terry. Tony made the motion, Terry seconded.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Action item G, discussion and possible action to approve the purchase of equipment for the hospital ready room, a diagnostic and therapeutic service classroom. It's one of our PTEC pathways.
Mm-hmm. So with our summer CTE grant that we received, there was a part of that that was, I believe it was $14,000.
It's on page
15. Actually, it was, I think it was like 14.5. That they had, we had written in there for capital expenditures, which is a high priced item. So it's all comes out of our summer CTE grant. So what we were going to do is furnish a hospital ready room. Brandon actually helped us secure some donations of beds a couple weeks ago. So I had him go back and redo this bid and take out the beds and add other items in. And so they've gone in and done that. So this has our CPR mannequins. It has it has a multitude of things. It has the IV practice kits. It has training kits. It has different things. But all of this will be paid for 100% out of that summer CTE grant. So there are two bids in here. Both of them are compliant with buy board, but we recommend going with the one that is within our budget. So that $14,400. The other one is substantially outside of our budget. Yeah. So both again are TIPS and buy board certified bids, but we want to go with the one that is in our bid. So that's that Platinum Consulting Services, and it just comes with the full hospital ready room kit.
Awesome. Does anybody have any questions?
So does this first one, the sim-rated one, the beds on this one?
I asked them to remove the beds, so I do not think that it has beds, no.
Because okay. It just says hospital
bed backboard.
So,
no, it doesn't actually have the bed. So it's everything but the bed. And same as the second quote, it's everything in the room but the beds.
Any other questions? All right, can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees of Lorenzo Independent School District approve the purchase of the hospital ready room equipment package from Platinum Consulting Services in the amount of $14,400 to outfit the new diagnostic and therapeutic service classroom under the PTEC pathway.
I make a motion.
Deborah makes a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Erasmo seconds. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous.
Thank you, sir.
All right. H, discussion and possible action to consider the purchase and installation of a replacement AC unit in the elementary room 6.
Yes, sir. That unit would have cost over $5,500 to fix. And that fix might have lasted a week, it might have lasted a month or 6 months, but we just thought it'd be better to replace the unit so that we have warranty and 15 to 20 years of life as opposed to throwing up our hands, spending less. So that's why we're asking you to approve the quote from Control Tech which is in the amount of $10,549. It was not the cheapest of the quotes. However, the cheaper quotes did not include the ability to install the unit and then connect to control text system that allows us to regulate usage. So even if we had paid $8,000 for the unit, control tech would have had to come back to connect that unit to their system for our overall controls. And my belief is it's better to have one company do it all, because if we let another firm do the work and then control tech comes in and something goes wrong in a month, control tech could say that's not our fault, that's on that side, and we get into a contest over who's really responsible. So even though it was a little bit more, by the time you added control tech coming out, we think it was going to be about the same. So that's why we're recommending control tech.
Make sure everything's compatible.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
Is there any questions? Okay, can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees of Lorenzo Independent School District approve the purchase and installation of a replacement 3-ton AC unit for elementary room 6 from Control Tech Corp in the amount of $10,549.10 as presented?
So move.
Coach? Larry?
I second.
Terry with the second. All those in favor?
You got another room problem now for the next meeting.
That other item, though.
Swamp cooler. All right. Action item I, discussion and possible action to approve applying for an interest-free payment schedule for recent gas repairs.
So at the time of writing this, we only had one of the quotes, the first half of the work. Remember, we went from one gas line to four, one 8-inch line to 4 2-inch lines. And for 2 2-inch lines connecting the cafeteria and some other things, it was $39,000. We were waiting on the invoice for the second one, which we received, and it could have been as much as $39,000. It actually came back for $36,000. So total, we owe in the neighborhood of $82,000+. What we're hoping is that if you guys agree, we will apply for a interest-free loan. It's not really even a loan. It's deferred payment plan is what it is. It is with Wells Fargo. No interest, 18 months, if approved for 18 months. And that way, they'd simply divide the $82,000-some-odd by 18, and each month we pay that. What that does, as opposed to you voting to pay $82,000 right now, is each month, we figured out an approximate amount for that, didn't we? 18.
We just keep that money in the bank and get the interest. Yeah.
So So each month we're paying $3,000-some-odd every month, but we're earning interest on the other $79,000 to sit there. And then when we pay another $3,000, we're earning interest on the $76,000 and the $73,000 and the $70,000. So over the course of 18 months, we would not have spent, we would have spent $82,000-some-odd, but we would have earned back $10,000, $12,000 potentially in interest. So that's the recommendation, is that you allow us to apply for that deferred payment plan. And if we're denied the payment plan, we ask you to modify the recommendation or the motion to pay in full if we're denied.
Mm. Yeah, I personally agree, because I didn't want to, you know, pay it out if we were paying off interest and everything, just paying out. But this sounds like it's kind of the best case scenario.
Yeah, we can still use our money.
So we can, and get that interest coming back. And if it doesn't work out, then we can just go ahead and pay in full like we originally thought.
I'm like, interest-free payments. That's
rare.
Why would Wells Fargo do that? Is it a special thing for schools? Is it...
It was on the invoice.
It was with Earl.
I'm assuming Earl's offers it to their customers, because if... You're Earl's and you're offering me that delay, this air conditioner I'm putting in my house for $12,000, and he's not, I'm probably going with you.
I got you. Cool. Is there any other questions? Mm-hmm. Okay, can I get a motion that the Board of Trustees of Lorenzo Independent School District approve applying for an interest-free payment schedule with Wells Fargo Bank for the gas repair project by Earl's Plumbing to be financed over an 18-month period?
And if we don't get approved?
And if we don't get approved, then we'll pay it. We'll pay the total in full.
I so move.
Do I have to call? Can I call him Coach? Do I have to call
you
him?
You call
him
what you want.
I've never said Larry before, man.
That's
Mr. Birdwolf.
Nobody's gonna listen to our recording.
Yeah.
That is. Let me tell you something. That's 35 years of training.
No, that's the first time I've ever said Larry.
In high school, he'd have gotten hurt for that.
We got a motion by Coach and a second by Tony. All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous.
I will tell you that we have 0 seconds to get ready for our
executive
session.
I know. Bang! 8:15, baby.
Perfect timing.
Bang.
I'm going to go. So, wait a minute. Oh. He has to call us out of regular session into executive session at the time so that...
Okay, so
we come off of the record, so you do
so
have to.
So it is 8:15 p.m. and I call us out of our regular meeting and move into an executive session.
Perfect. I'll get everything set up. Thanks, ladies. Appreciate you guys, ladies, coming.
If there was a time.